Hey everybody, and welcome to the Brothers Geek, where geeky brothers talk about geeky things. We are at episode 48. My name's Chris Laporte, Green Dragon Taste Tester, and Pride Rock Graffiti Remover.
And my name is Patrick Laporte. I'm a pipeweed farmer and a Koopa Wax salesman. You know, nice. like turtle wax, but it's Koopa Wax.
Oh.
Because of Mario.
Because that's what they would use on their cars in the universe. We're gonna have to probably.
That's what Bowser would use on a sweet like hovercraft thing or whatever.
I'm sure that question is gonna be answered in Mario Odyssey.
Oh yeah, you can become a car.
Yeah, exactly. So you know exactly what somebody's wiping on. Is that weird if someone's wiping wax on you while you're the car? That's probably weird.
Mm. You know, Mario probably likes
like,
it.
Oh.
What's even weirder is they just pick up a Koopa and just start rubbing it up against.
Yeah,
probably. That's the weird part.
Oh man. Hey Patrick.
Yes, what's up?
So I was at the movies this weekend watching some Blade Runner 2049, and the trailers were pretty awful for the most part. And I realized a lot of the awful trailers start having the same exact like tropes, and some of those just need to die. Like movies just need to kill this. And the thing that stuck out to me was in the, what was it called? The Divergent. The other Hunger Games.
Uh-huh. They're finally moving on with that series, huh?
Yeah. I guess in this one they have to get back into the city that they got out of or something. I haven't seen any of them.
Me either.
Some escaping or something. Yeah. Well, they have to get back.
Some diverging just, of some sort.
Yeah. They're going to divergently go back. And I guess it's going to be just as dangerous as getting out. And they're like, oh, it's going to be so dangerous. We work so hard to get out, and it's going to be just so dangerous. And then, like, pause. I call shotgun. Like, the whole, like, this thing we're going to do, it's going to be so dangerous. I'm in. Like, that needs to die.
Yeah.
That didn't work. The last time that worked was in Lord of the Rings. When Gimli's like, oh, no chance of success. Why are we waiting for? You know?
Yeah.
And even that was like a stretch.
Yeah.
So I was just thinking, what else? What else in trailers and movies? It just, God, we need to get away from this because they've done it a million times. Who does that? Who does that in reality?
I got another one.
All right.
Stop using the fucking Beastie Boys in every movie trailer. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the Beastie Boys, but it's sabotage every single time. If you're gonna use the Beastie Boys, maybe throw in some deeper tracks in there, you know? Maybe some Brass Monkey. I want to see a trailer with some Brass Monkey. You know? But why has it gotta be sabotage every single time?
Every time. Well, Patrick, they did it in that Star Trek movie, and everyone kind of liked that movie, and now everyone's doing it.
Yeah. Well, they need to stop. You said stop. Oh, and it's not even just movies anymore. It's now transferred over to video games because Destiny 2 used it, and it's in its TV spot. So,
oh yeah,
it needs to stop. I mean, that shit takes place in space. Use Intergalactic if you're going to use Beastie Boys. I mean, it's not a deeper track, but goddamn, like at least it's in space. It's there. It's right there. Just take it. Just grab it.
Well, that's the same like problem because the first Guardians trailer was so fun. And now every trailer has to have like that fun
an
feel.
Old rock song.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Shit, there's probably a million things that need to just die. Oh, man, there were so many bad trailers too. I don't even remember all of them. I mean, you know what I'm happy about though? No more trailers for that weather movie. The fucking what's it? Geostorm,
yeah.
Thank Christ, that's already out. Let's move on with our lives. Can we not have any more? Is this the last disaster movie? Like, can this please?
Oh, yeah, disaster movie should just stop, too, honestly.
Just that whole entire genre, just no more.
Which
please.
Is funny because while you were watching Blade Runner, I saw that For the Brave movie or whatever, that about the firefighters.
Oh, yeah.
Which, it actually wasn't that bad. I mean, because it's a quote-unquote disaster movie. I mean, it's a true story, so.
I mean, disasters do happen. Which
yeah.
This was, like, the most awkward timing for a disaster movie to come out, because I just feel like half of the country's on fire, the other half's underwater.
Well, that was the funny thing. It was like 106 degrees outside, and I live in Southern California, and there has been a lot of fires recently. And so what do we decide to see? Some movie about fires. And I was actually, I kind of wanted to go see The Foreigner, but that was me.
Is that that's a Jackie Chan, right? I'm so sorry the whole time.
The Snowman was also up there for debate to go see, and I really wanted to go see that, but we had a 12-year-old with us, so we couldn't.
You probably dodged a bullet. You know what it's sitting at right now? Rotten Tomatoes.
Is it really bad?
It was surprisingly low. It's worse. It's lower than Geostorm.
Whoa, really? Michael Fassbender, what are you doing with your life?
I don't know.
I need to see it just because it's Michael Fassbender, but
it's sitting at 8%.
Oh, no. Well,
I know. I don't know. Everyone says, I was shocked. I looked because as we've made quite clear, I'm kind of a puss when it comes to scary things or thrillers even at sometimes. I was like, oh, really? Because, I may have seen that one. I don't know. It looked just probably too scary for me. I'll just own it. And I was like, holy shit, 8%. And it seems like it's just incoherent.
Really?
The whole, what's going on thing is literally all that's happening. It's just scene.
Maybe that's the point, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what else I saw with Michael Fassbender in it this past week? I saw Assassin's Creed, actually. You know what? It's good. I don't know why people were so upset about it. I agree with Tiffany on this one. I think it's a pretty good Assassin's Creed movie. There's a lot of callbacks to the games in it and themes from the games and things like that. Things you would expect. And as far as action goes, it's pretty good action too. It's an action movie. But I think this is a problem that needs to die. And this is not even having to do with the movie makers or the movies themselves, but more as us as consumers. We need to stop. If they're going to create video games with movies, which, they're going to make an Uncharted movie, they're going to make a Portal movie. We as the consumers and movie makers need to make sure to not fall into this trap as well. Don't try to recreate the game as a movie. Because it's just not, it's not going to work. They're two different mediums, two different storytelling devices. It's not going to work. If you're going to do it, make a standalone story. And this is what I think Assassin's Creed actually did fairly well. It was a standalone story, separate from the storyline of the games, but still with themes and tropes from the games. You had the Animus, you have Leap of Faith and stuff like that, parkour. Right. Assassins versus Templars thing. So, there's those familiar things that help you connect it with the video game universe, but the story it's a standalone story, and it's not a terrible storyline. I think it's actually fairly good for an action movie storyline, and I don't know why people were so upset about it. I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was probably one of the best video game movies I've seen, probably.
Well,
that's not I know a lot of people were like, oh, this is going to be the movie that makes video game movies good. And I think it could have been that if people had that mindset of oh, it's not the video game, though. I can't expect it to be the video game.
Yeah. That's weird that, I don't know, because I feel if to do one thing or the other, really make the video game community happy by just wow, that I recognize everything in it,
Yeah, because that was the Warcraft movie, which was basically the storyline from the game, and people who knew Warcraft would love that movie, but it just wasn't a good enough standalone movie.
Yeah.
Because it went too heavily into the lore, so people who didn't know the lore just were kind of lost.
Which I can appreciate that. If you're going to do that, just go all out with it, So I can appreciate that. And I'm glad that, that's cool that the Assassin's Creed movie is I recognize, this feels like the game because, he's jumping down on that dude with knives in his wrists. That's cool.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's Michael Fassbender doing it, so it can't be all bad.
Shirtless for most of the movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. What is he doing with his life, by the way?
I don't know. My goodness. I don't know.
Whatever. Well, one trope that doesn't need to die about movies and trailers is drinking while watching.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And we shouldn't stop drinking while doing our podcast either.
Never.
What are you drinking, Patrick?
Water, because it's literally, nice. It was 110 degrees today, and like, I actually, this isn't, usually when I just drink water, it's like, oh, I don't have any beer, or, oh, I'm getting kind of sick, so I'm going to drink water. It's like, no, I literally need to, because I was so hot, and I was like sweating balls, and I need to hydrate myself.
Oh, man. What a different, like, today I've literally had a sweater on all day.
It's October, this date, the recording of this, it's October 24th. It was 110 high today.
It's going to get down to 40 degrees tonight.
God damn.
Anyway. I mean, this is the one thing I have. Like, I'm it's like, true. Oh, cool. It falls, like, approaching, and it's here. But, still spiders, though. So.
Yeah.
Fuck these guys.
Dude, those spiders, they're sneaky and mean.
Sneaky and mean. In the spirit of October, I'm going to be drinking Voodoo Ranger Atomic Pumpkin from New Belgium. So, okay. It's got a little cinnamon in there, too. I think that's the atomic part.
Oh.
And it's decent. Where's my alcohol percentage here? 6. Almost 7.
There you go.
I'll take it. All right. So.
Bottoms up.
That ain't bad, actually.
Nice. I had
there is a little cinnamon in there, and it's pretty good.
Sweet. I had a pumpkin beer this past week as well. I think it was from Epic, I think.
Oh.
Was it? I don't know. It was...
I can't answer that for you.
It was a major beer... Like, it was one of the major breweries. Wasn't, like, some out of the loop. But it was an Imperial-style pumpkin ale.
Nice.
And it was real good. And it had nutmeg in it, so that's why.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Fancy.
Yeah.
Bet you it's more than 7%, too.
I think it was, yeah. Although that was post beer club beer, so I didn't care at that point. I don't really remember. That's why I don't remember the brewery.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a good way to have it. It always tastes better, too.
Oh yeah.
So the big news for today, actually, when we release this, feels weird to talk about something that's a few days away still and be like, hey, it's here.
Yeah.
But Stranger Things Season 2 is out.
Now, this is me speaking to you in the future. Have you binge-watched it all yet?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to be confident and say yes, because I am, yeah, I'm really pushing through and trying to make time this week for my girlfriend and I to try and tackle the season one again. We've both seen it, but trying to get another rewatch in. Because I've only seen the first season once, actually.
I haven't seen the first season start to finish. I've seen episodes, but not, like, actually sat down and watched it.
You haven't seen it. What are you doing with your life? Stop the recording.
Well, me and Kayla, my girlfriend, are going to watch... Because she hasn't seen anything at all, so.
She's not seen any franchises ever.
Nope.
A star what now? There's some war.
Go see a Star Wars.
A star. But it's the couple episodes I've already rewatched. It's holding up again for the most part, and it's quite delightful still. I was a little worried. I thought it would kind of... Like, the cracks in the scenes would show a little bit or something. But, no. The cop, the sheriff, he's the fucking shit. I love his character a lot. He's kind of actually got some complexity to him. 11 is fucking great. My girlfriend and I were just like... She's, like, acting with just her face and body movement for the most part. She barely talks. And... It was just one of those things where you're like, she's like 11 years old in this, you know, and for some little kid to be able to just act with their face and be able to portray these kind of complex emotions and fears without language, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I think the one that, if anyone's bothering me this second time through, is actually the main kid. He's a little wooden, I think, and he's a little annoying. He's a little goody-goody. It's a little bothersome.
That's bowl cut kid.
Yeah, well, they're all bullkit kids. That narrows it down to the whole fucking school. Except for Steve. Steve's got the flowy hair. The curly? He's the older kid. He's the older kid, though.
What about the fat kid? He has curly hair.
Yeah, he's got the curly. He's not even fat.
The chubby kid.
If I was going to dress up as one of the kids from Stranger Things, it'd definitely be him. He's got the windbreaker over the sweatshirt.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. But, it's cold, man. So, yeah, it's coming out today. I'm pretty stoked. Looks like some crazy shit in that trailer. So, I don't know where they're going to go with it, though. There's part of me that's worried, of course, because I think it really worked as just one season. And it's like, oh, but there's still weird things. Bye!
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't know.
We'll hey, see. If it disappoints, though, Chris, you can always kill some Nazis, because Wolfenstein comes out the same day.
And Mario Odyssey comes out that day, too.
There you go.
So, a lot of shit going down on Friday.
It's that season. It's turning into that season.
And I have to reapply for my health insurance!
Yay!
Oh, man.
I have to, like...
What a day.
Yeah,
a
I have day. To renew my car insurance!
And it's a payday. My God.
Yeah.
What a great Friday, folks.
I'm going to a Halloween party that day. Me and my girlfriend are going to a Halloween party. We're going to be Harry Potter and Ginny. Or Ginny, however you pronounce it. It's a Harry Potter-themed party.
Don't ask me. You're the one that knows Harry Potter.
Ginny?
Okay, be confident about it. If you're gonna make fun of me for not liking Harry Potter, you better know how to pronounce every single character's name.
Hermione one.
Man, you know, I do have a complaint about Harry Potter, and that's it's pretty much a kid's book.
Yeah.
It's a kid's story.
It is. It's made for kids.
But sometimes kid's stories get a little creepy. Those Dementors. They just those sucking at your face.
Those giant the worst part office. About prison with the Dementors.
there's no Dementors. So in our kind of theme of ruining your childhood, we're gonna keep doing it this week.
Yeah,
it's gonna be great.
Yeah.
So we're gonna do the darkest kids movies / a couple other stories as well.
Yeah,
we expanded from movies here and there, but for the most part, darkest kids movies / stories to continue ruining your childhood. So okay. We've picked our probably most impactful to us. Because there's some fucked up shit out there. I was doing, when I was researching this one, reminding myself some of the scenes. Because I was like, was that from? Yep, it was. That was terrifying. I found some like top 10 lists.
Uh-huh.
And there is apparently this like rabbit story called like Watership Down or something.
Oh yeah, I kept seeing that one come up too.
Dude. Like, it's not on my list. It's not on my list. I don't know. Is it on yours?
No, chance? I've never seen it, okay. So I didn't put it.
I've never seen it. That's why it didn't end up on my list. But, dude, I watched some clips. There's like a dog that just rips up a rabbit. Like, and it's bloody. And, like, I was like, what the fuck am I watching? And there's this one rabbit that describes being trapped underground. And, like, the visual of his story. It's like, it looks like these rabbit embryos underground, and it's this super surreal, like, weird, disturbing scene as he's bleeding out. So it's like...
Sweet.
Was this advertised as a kid's movie? This looks like if David Lynch read something to his kids. This is like, well, I'm going to tell my story. It started out as rabbit.
This story sucks. I'm going to make it better. Grosser.
So, yeah. There's some pretty fucked up shit. So I'm gonna call... might go, hey, how is that not on their list? Well, you probably didn't watch it. So how about, you want to start off?
I'll start off with a movie that I watched a lot as a kid, referenced it fairly often. One of the first times I got Chris laughing uncontrollably was from a line from this movie. That's Peter Pan.
I knew, damn it. I was taking a sip because I knew what you were going to say, right?
Yeah, so Peter Pan, kids movie, Disney. People love it. Kids love it. I loved it when I was a kid. But, you know, it starts off pretty dark. I mean, this dude, very flamboyant dude, comes in to kids' windows at night and takes them away and just kidnaps them. Sure, they say they go willingly, but let's be real. Like, he kidnaps them, takes them away to this Neverland place, wherever the fuck that is, so that they can never have to grow up. So now they're just, like, gonna be kids all their lives, which, like, sure, there's many times where I'm like, man, I wish I could be a kid again. But at the same time, it's like, no, being a kid sucked for a lot of the time.
I mean, it depends. It depends on what you're talking about, because I would love to not have the responsibility and come home and just play Sega Genesis.
It's true.
That'd be great.
You got people telling you what to do all the time.
That's true. That's true.
Can't drive. That kind of sucks. Can't make your own decisions. It's kind but anyway, of
great, though.
And then they get the ability to fly. Oh, how fun, how fun. But what gives them that ability is fairy dust, you know, or cocaine, whatever. It could be the same thing, who knows. They have to, like, shake the fairy, like, at one point to, like, get this fairy dust out, and Tinkerbell's not having it.
It's a little, yeah, it's a little abusive.
It's a little rapey. Sure. Let's just be real. Not to mention the bad guy is one of the only few adults in this place, so that's kind of creepy, and he has, like, a weird, like, crocodile, like, fetish slash fear is...
Wait, he like, secretly wants the crocodile to come and get him? Oh, yeah, tear me up. Just eat me off that diamond board right there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, and that's the other thing.
Oh, I hate this.
That dude gets, like, just eaten pretty badly.
He does. No.
Well, he gets chased off, but it's chopping but, like, at him.
Into deep waters, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, he's definitely... At some point, the magic of it being a cartoon is going to wear off, and he's going to have to go underwater. Like, it's going to happen eventually.
Yeah, he gets chased off into the ocean. But yeah, I mean, like, mostly it's just the kidnapping is pretty dark.
you just would rather not have somebody come through your window at night and say, hey, you want to fly with me, sprinkle shit on you, and push you out the window?
Yeah, that's kind of, yeah. That's basically what
I don't understand about. Where that fear comes from.
Yeah.
Why would you not want that to happen?
Don't know. Your turn.
Okay. This one, when I really think about the whole thing, it's kind of creepy, but stuff, one scene in particular, we've talked about this scene very briefly, but I really want to dive into it. And that's Willy Wonka.
I have this on my list as well.
Okay. Sweet. So we'll give our thoughts on this one. So first of all, Willy Wonka himself is a little off, like, the whole time. Like, he wants everyone to think he's injured. And he's been living in the factory, like, without any word from the factory for a long time. And they just reopen it, right?
Let's even before that.
Oh.
This dude wants to fatten up kids before they come to his factory. He's
true.
He's trying to fatten them up, okay?
Are you
We talked about Hansel and Gretel last week. Some themes very similar. Parents sending their kids off, and then there's parents there, but they're like, there's a chocolate sweatshop at the beginning of this movie.
Are you saying that this is a modern Hansel and Gretel? Basically,
I think it is.
You might be. I think you're onto something. Okay, so. Fattening up the kids, because, you know, Willy Wonka, he may or may not be a cannibal. All right.
Yep.
And a witch.
Yep.
There's that scary dude in the beginning who just leers at Charlie. That's most of what he does, right? It's just, like, the random dude that he doesn't like.
Something like that, but yeah.
I don't remember what he is, like, in terms of an occupation.
Yeah.
I just know there's, like, a scary adult that leers at Charlie most of the time.
Is he like
that? Which is, I mean, that's scary enough right there.
Yeah.
So a leering at children adult in this movie, that's enough.
Yeah.
But Willy Wonka, he's kind of off. Like, he hobbles out, pretends he's hurt, but he's not. He, like, he likes having people off guard as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know, you have the kids licking... You're making these kids lick walls and shit? Like, this isn't a red flag to parents?
Lick this and unzip his pants.
No, spoilers.
Oh, sorry.
My God. But of course, you have one kid drinking out of the fudge river.
Uh-huh.
Which any kid would, of course. He gets sucked up into the bowels of hell? I don't know. What happens to those kids?
I don't know. He says something about, like, oh, yeah, he almost drowns.
He's like, oh, he's, you know, you can gather him up.
Later. Gather him up.
What does that mean?
What a way to talk about a child.
So
gather up what's left of him. I don't know.
Good luck. It's probably a lot of fudge. But the kids and the adults, everybody gets on this boat to go on this tunnel.
Oh, yeah.
There's only as much seats as there are people that are left. So he knew someone was dropping off. Like, he predicted that happening. Like, he knew he was probably going to kill off a kid already.
He was going to tell one of his Oompa Loompas to kidnap him before he got on the boat.
If they all obey, just here's a blow dart, go at it.
Yeah.
Make it look like he fell in, like, oh, he was drinking the fudge, but it's just like two darts sticking out of his neck. Then we get one of the most terrifying scenes of my childhood. You have this boat going in the tunnel, and suddenly, like, all the parents are freaking out, and one of the dads is like freaking out before they even go in the tunnel, like, hey, Wonka, I'm not going in that tunnel. Like, you don't know what's gonna happen. This is like any amusement park has tunnels.
Like, he's been there before, out? Maybe.
Oh, the plot thickens. My God. But yeah, there's like worms and like centipedes. And
it's like their nightmares, right? Like,
yeah, but I don't understand why. And then, yeah, Charlie sees that the one dude, the leering dude, that's good. Let's put the leering dude up on a projector for everybody to see. And
where did he touch you, Charlie? Show us on the doll. Show us on the Oompa Loompa where he touched you. And the Oompa Loompa's like, yeah, show us.
Oh my God. This is getting far worse.
Hey, this is dark, man.
Oh. Then Willy Wonka just starts like reciting this poetry that's like about how disorienting this all is. Oh, where are we going? And then he starts screaming it at the end. It's just everyone's like just freaking out and just going nuts, you know, as you would. Can you imagine like a tour guide? Like, imagine you're on the Jungle Cruise at Disneyland. You're going around in little boats. And he's making the corny jokes, and then suddenly he like goes behind the water, and you just can't see anything else but the water all around you. And then it just gets darker and darker. And your tour guide's like talking into the speaker, like, "I wonder where the water's rising." Like, you would never go back to Disneyland again.
No,
but they all get off this.
But at the same time, they got Dole Whips though.
They do have Dole Whips.
So
probably be like, I can forget all this if I can just get front of the line at the Dole Whip stand.
Yeah.
Do you want us to pay for it? Just front of the line, thanks. I don't want to be greedy.
Willy Wonka might kick me out if I'm too greedy.
Because everyone gets off the boat and it's just fine. They just continue.
Yeah, they never talk about it ever again in the whole movie. They don't mention it.
Later on, they get in those cars. There's only as many seats in those cars as there are survivors.
Survivors, that's a good way of putting it.
Did he, like, he knew how many were going to fall off? Which, how, I mean, they're lucky.
He's Willy Wonka. He's a genius.
They always say genius is on, like, the edge of insanity.
Or a psychopath, yeah.
Yep. So, here it is. And he's scary at the end, too. He, like, is mad. Then he's like, you did it. And then he puts him in an elevator that gets shot into space?
Yeah, like, I don't know what that's about.
Fuck, Willy. Man.
Yeah, his name's Willy,
so
too.
So he eats those kids, is what we're saying.
Oh, yeah, he eats kids.
Yeah, they get put into the chocolate or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I just wanted to clear that up.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, he makes sure he gets the fat kid, who was already fat. Then he turns one of the people that wasn't fat yet fat.
Oh my God.
And then the other girl is just a brat, which rhymes with fat. So she probably gets turned into a goose that lays those eggs.
No, the brat girl, isn't that the one that turns into a giant blueberry?
No, the brat girl's like, I want it now, and she wants the golden egg.
Oh, that's right. That's
and she gets dropped into the thing. So she just turns in, they put her through a process where she turns into a goose that'll lay eggs or whatever. I'm sure. I mean, that's all speculation, but it's true.
You're right. And then he wants, like, the fun-size candy, so he makes the other one small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wants the bite-sized candy. He wants to just carry him with it in his pocket so he can just pop him in like gum, you know, just, yeah. Just pop one in.
All right, what do you got next?
All right, so my next one is just a scene. Well, first off, like, I was thinking about putting Lion King just because, like, you know, his dad dies, which that's pretty dark. Yeah. But there's another Disney movie that has a scene that is so much more dark and terrifying. And it comes from All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Oh, shit, yes. I was debating on this one.
So I know I've seen... It's been a really long time since I've seen this movie, and when I was looking up some things to help me, like, refresh my memory and stuff, this one came up on one of the lists, and I was like, oh, yeah, that is a scene! And then it all came back. Like, I had repressed it in my memory.
My number one movie, all the repression. Like, when I watched him again, I'm like, I remember all this, and oh my god.
So, despite what the title may tell you, there's a scene where a dog goes to hell in this movie. Yeah, it's a dream sequence, but it's very terrifying, and I'm sure plenty of churches used this clip in Sunday school, which we'll get to later on in the show, as, you know, like, turn or burn sort of, but it was Disney, so it was fine. It was for kids. But they were probably this is what's going to happen to you, because... This dog goes to hell, and, like, so many terrible things happen to him. Like, he starts getting, like, attacked by other dogs.
A hellhound.
Yeah,
thing.
Like hellhounds.
Like skeletal.
Start attacking him, and of course, like, there's the fire and stuff like that.
Plenty of lava. You know.
Lava, a lot of lava, because we all know that hell's in the center of the earth. But yeah, it's just like so many terrible things, and it's the thing that gets me is it's the bait and switch, you know. So you go into this movie as a kid, and you're like, oh, all dogs go to heaven, you know. It's gonna be kind of sad because like a dog's apparently gonna die, but which is sad. So that's sad. But you know, at least he'll go to heaven. Like, oh, hey, how sweet.
Maybe it'll be about doggy heaven.
And then all of a sudden they're like, no, he's in hell, and you're like, oh my god, like. I thought this movie was called All Dogs Go to Heaven. Like, what the hell, Disney? Literally.
And I think the image that, like, I remember specifically is all these little things biting him.
Yeah,
like biting his ear and nose and
stuff. Yeah, it's just, like, uncomfortable. The gnashing of teeth.
And he does wake up to the, like, best possible thing you can wake up to, which is, like, puppies, like on him.
Yeah.
And that's what he was, like, imagining is, like, the little things biting him. But it's really just puppies. So at the very least, after that awful, awful scene, he wakes up to puppies. Which is the only thing that might help.
Yeah.
It doesn't. Because you repress that memory.
Yeah. It's like a mean parent. That movie's like a mean parent that promises you one thing and then does the opposite, but then gives you something good afterwards still, so then you're always just, like, fucked up, you know? You're always, like, you don't know what to expect, you know? You want to bite the mouth that feeds you, you know, but you don't, because you might get something good, but then you're going to get smacked, but then there's a puppy.
Yeah.
It's like psychological warfare is what that movie is. That's why it's so dark. You know, Willy Wonka's more, like, abrasive, because they go through a nightmare tunnel. This is, like, very, it's more subtle, you know?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Actually, right on your theme there, perfect segue, because I have almost the same kind of problems with this scene, because it's really a fuck you from the writers and the movie makers, really. And it's a delight, and that's what it is. It's a delightful movie up until this moment. And then it's just sad. It's not even really scary. It's just dark on a psychological level. And that's Homeward Bound.
Oh, man.
So you have this wonderful story about these pets that, hey, they don't think their owners are coming back from. They are. And that's part of the darkness. Like, there wasn't even a problem. They could have just waited. But they get nervous that their owners need them and they're not coming back. So they go on this grand adventure and it's lovely and wonderful, and they slingshot a cougar into the water, and from the local cougar bar down the street.
Yeah, yeah. She was on the prowl.
Yeah. And but at the end, right before they get home, Shadow, spoilers for like this 1993 movie or whatever it was, Shadow falls into a pit, which is, it's just this random pit that's there that they don't see. I think it may have been a trap, but he, you know, it's not really clear what it is. And you have to watch this dog like struggling to try and get out of it. And he's like hurt himself, and he's all muddy and sad and wet. And he's just he keeps trying to climb out as the other two are watching helplessly this scene unfolding, this their grand leader just struggling for his life. And that's where the psychological shit comes in, because they have to get home, but that means leaving him. There's nothing they can do. They have to actively make the decision to walk away from him and let him die. That's what's going on in that scene.
Oh, man. I don't even remember that.
So they walk away, the you know, Chance and Sassy.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is the cat. They walk away, and they get home. And then it's just like they run through the out of the forest one at a time for some reason, even though they're together. And then everyone's waiting for Shadow to come out, and he doesn't come out of the forest. And it's just like the rest of the day almost goes by. Like they're gathering everything, getting everybody inside, and everyone's happy the pets are back. And it's just like they accept that Shadow didn't make it. And it's like, what the fuck? But then Shadow comes out.
Of course.
And he's like, he's limping and shit, but he makes it. Didn't cry. Totally cried. I'd cried a day. 100%. But
hold on, there's a bug in here. I see it.
Again?
I see it.
Oh shit.
I'm gonna try to kill it.
Oh man. A dark story has unfolded here.
It's on the roof. It's on the ceiling.
What is it?
It's like a beetle thing.
Oh, you're fine.
No, I'm gonna smash it.
It's like a cicada. Do you have cicadas out there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like a cicada.
I'm gonna smash it with my shoe.
I think I see it. Oh, you get it?
Got it.
Oh, that got fucking lit.
Keep that in.
You can't kill a bug right after we talk about these kids' movies and their dark animal cruelty.
Bugs aren't animals, man. They're bugs.
That's insectist.
You hate spiders.
I fucking hate pretty much all bugs. I mean, they're all acceptable except spiders. They burn this place to the ground. So yeah, that's Homeward Bound.
Homeward Bound, everybody.
Just fuck with my emotions. Thanks a lot. Kids movie.
Yeah. All right. Now this my next one's going to be the one where it kind of goes off a little tangent. So a little back history for me and Chris. We've talked about it before, but we grew up like in a Christian home, all that stuff. But like, you know, a lot of kids go through like Sunday school, you know, and they teach all the little fun little Bible stories, and they have the cute, everybody sits, crisscross applesauce, and you sit in a circle, and they flip through the pages, and got all those cute little like caricatures, Bible characters and stuff, and you know, you got the big ones like Jonah and the whale. Not talking about that story, even though that story's dark as it is. You know, Abraham. You know, wanting to sacrifice his own kid, you know, that's in there. And
also,
you know,
fucked up.
The, you know, creation story where there's a snake.
just snakes. Just fuck them.
But the story that I'm... The children's story that a lot of parents, whether in Sunday school or bedtime story, whatever, is Noah and the flood and the ark. Now, on the surface level in a Sunday school, it's like, oh, and Noah with his family, and God told him that it was going to rain, and he was going to flood the earth, so Noah had to build an ark, a big boat, and gather up all the animals. Oh, look how cute they are, and they're smiling, there's giraffes, and there's elephants, and there's zebras, and the horses, they're so cute, you know, and then it does rain, and it rains for a long time, it's 40 days and 40 nights, but eventually, like, you know, God stops the flood and they find land, and then God sends a beautiful rainbow to, like, tell Noah, you know, promise never to do that again or whatever. That story is fucked up, dude. First of all, mass genocide. Everybody dies.
Yeah, I was going to say, the first thing comes to my mind, everybody's dead. Everybody's dead
besides Noah.
And his family.
Second dark part, where are the dinosaurs at? Where's the dinosaurs? I want to see the dinosaurs. So that's the second part. Oh, but then you quickly realize, oh, they probably didn't have room for the dinosaurs, because as cute as, like, all those little animals are on the storybook pages, you know, and they're all smiling, everybody would have been jam-packed in there. It would have smelled so bad.
Oh,
it would have smelled so bad. Would have smelled, there was no place to dispense besides just the ocean, right? There's poop everywhere, of all shapes and sizes. Smelly animals probably like trying to eat one another, because there's predators and prey on this boat.
Yeah, for sure.
So you gotta, you know, separate them somehow. And also, those storybooks, they don't tell you, all the creepy ass animals for whatever reason are on that boat too, like the spiders and the snakes and the rats.
Noah, you dick.
But the rats didn't even have to get called onto the boat. They would have been there already. Because of how dirty and gross it is.
There's a lot more of us than you think.
yeah. Not to mention, that's 40 days with your close, just trapped in a boat with your closest family. You know how annoying that's going to get?
A shit ton of animals.
Oh, God. You know how annoying that's going to be? With your just imagine being trapped in a room for 40 days and 40 nights, probably eating the same thing every day.
Take out the trash. What's the fucking point? You know what? You're just like your father.
They definitely have those accents.
For sure.
You know, I don't blame Noah for when they finally do land getting drunk off his ass, because he's just seen some shit. Literally.
Yeah, a lot of shit. A lot of feces.
So, the flood and Noah's Ark is not a cute children's story, folks. It's real gross and dirty. At least.
And a lot of people die. Well, I'll tell you what happened to the dinosaurs, Patrick.
Okay.
You're setting up just the most brilliant segue.
That's what I do, man.
There's a movie I watched. I must have watched a million times, because when I watched the scenes to refresh my memory, I knew exactly how the characters were going to say the lines and, like, the mannerisms and all that stuff. I must have watched this God know how many times. That's a movie called We're Back.
What?
Yep.
I've never heard of this movie ever.
Yeah, look it up right now. Okay. We're Back is a kids cartoon, movie from, it was like 92 or 93 or something like that. John Goodman does the voice of a T-Rex, and there's a couple other dinosaurs.
What the hell? What is this?
So,
what am I looking at?
A scientist figures out a way to not only calm dinosaurs with his, like, cereal, like, literally brand cereal.
Okay.
It makes him intelligent and calm and nice. And he goes back in time, because he has a time machine, too.
Of course. Yeah, I was going to say, how the flying dinosaurs? Yeah.
This flying Dutchman of a time machine. And he goes back, brings back a few dinosaurs that he's made nice and into John Goodman. And it's to fulfill, because he's able to, like, use this machine to hear kids' wishes, and they want to see dinosaurs. So he, like, don't know why he wanted it.
Okay.
Maybe he was Santa? I don't know. But,
Santa is just another creepy chicken's tail.
Just in general.
We'll talk about that at Christmas.
Yes. You know, the kids see the dinosaurs, they're like, oh, dinosaurs, that's so cool. And they're, you know, liking the dinosaurs, and they connect with the dinosaurs and stuff. And he has, this scientist has an evil brother, Professor Screw Eye. Now he has a screw for an eye.
Okay.
So that can hypnotize people. So
Professor Screw Eye.
Yeah. Exactly. He coerces the kids into working at his, like, scary carnival.
Of course. So
there's a little bit of, like, Something Wicked This Way Comes in there, too. And then the dinosaurs basically, they promise to be scary again and, like, take his medicine to revert back to their normal dinosaur selves, so that the kids don't have to be a part of the contract anymore. And it's, like, written in blood and shit. So it's like a scary contract.
Yeah. One of them spooky contracts.
But he has a machine that listens to kids' fears instead. And it's like Raiders of the Lost Ark ending. You know, these like ghostly kids come out of this like machine, and it's like apparitions of themselves, like, oh, I'm scared of this, and like, and they like wrap up the characters and stuff, and it's like the super creepy, like them telling these dinosaurs what they fear the most, like, what the fuck. Then we get to see the scary carnival, and scary carnival has like would have some scenes that would be scary to kids, but the audience is ridiculously humorous because they're like terrified of everything, and everyone pays to go get scared, and it's this big critique on why people like being scared, probably. But they're so ridiculous in the audience, it's kind of humorous. But at the end, you know, when the kids get back in there and they get the dinosaurs to remember how they were when they weren't scary and all that crap, the good guy, the good scientist, comes back, takes the kids and the dinosaurs, and he's like, brother, you know, Professor Screw-Eye, come with us, you know. He's like, no, I'll never go with you. So he's like, all right. And so they leave. And then he, as they're leaving, he's like, no, wait. He has this like big regret. And it's this monologue of how he like fears being alone and stuff. And he's has these crows that are part of his show. And he's like, I don't know what they're thinking. You know, what will they do? You know, what are they trying? And one single crow comes down and like lands on him. And then all of them like just converge on him to make him look like this like giant crow of crows, and then they all scatter and he's gone. They just ate him.
Whoa.
Like literally fucking ate him alive, and all that's left is his little screw eye. Okay. The end.
Okay.
That's how the movie ends, I'm pretty sure.
So he has this redeemable moment where he's like, I'm actually like just really want to, like, I'm just afraid of being alone, like, could I actually, yes, come with you guys? But then the crows eat him.
Yes. Like, he has, that's what's so fucked up about it, because he has this revelation of, like, and here's my fears, and I just, I hate being alone, and he's obviously had some fucked upness in his past, and the good brother just doesn't hear him, and just flies off, and he just gets eaten alive by crows. Alone.
What a dick of a brother, honestly.
So, yeah. We're back! Kids, wow, movie. John Goodman. So
I don't think I could beat that.
I do have one more. That's the most fucked up kids.
Okay, movie. I have another one too, real quick. Home, yeah, Alone. Just and I just thought of this one because it's like that kid killed those guys. Are, oh, dead. Yeah. Those guys are dead.
They're so dead.
So dead.
One gets like lit up by a flamethrower.
Yeah, right? And like electrical shocked.
Bowling balls, like getting smashed on their heads, yeah, and stuff. Yeah, he murders them multiple times.
They, like, I've seen a video of, like, the death count in Home Alone. Dude, like, would have broken his neck, like, several times slipping on those stairs just right away.
Yeah. I mean, they're so, you have to give them, like, they're
the
so
wet bandits, dude. They got some determination.
They fucking. Exactly. It's good. You ready for the most fucked up kids movie of all time?
Yeah.
It's a little thing called The Brave Little Toaster.
Oh, God. Okay, I've seen this movie, but it's been...
Every step of the way, there's something. And I have this list pulled up, like, of all the different things that are dark. You have to scroll and scroll and scroll just to get to the bottom. But I remember there's a few things. First of all, at one point, there is an air conditioner that is reminded that he is stuck in a wall. So he gets like super depressed and starts going into this rage and starts like this horrible sound as he's like blowing up, basically. And he then blows up.
Okay.
Like he commits suicide in this terrifying, like, as he's just like, rawr, rawr. It's so freaky. And at one point, the appliances, I mean, this is about a toaster and a vacuum, and if you haven't seen Brave Little Toaster, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
You probably have a nice childhood. Which is weird right off the bat because, like, they love their masters, but they're just, like, common appliances around the house, you know?
Yeah.
There's something nice about when toys are, like, have a connection with a kid. It's weird when it's a toaster. But anyway. There's that one point where the vacuum accidentally, like he sucks up his own cord and, like starts strangling himself on it. And starts having this panic attack, and it's the sound he, like, it's horrible sounds. He's making this horrible sound the whole time. And then there's a dream the toaster has where he dreams he, like, gets something caught in himself and it starts, like, burning the whole, like, smoke just starts going in the entire house. Then this fireman shows up, but he's a clown. And he's, like, the most fucking terrifying clown.
Oh, God.
And he has smoke all around him, and he leans over the toaster, and the toaster's, like, terrified, right? And he as he's speaking, like, little bits of smoke come out of his, like, grinning face. He's like, run.
That's all he says. Oh, Jesus.
And then he sprays water that turns into, as it's this wave of water, turns into forks that start jabbing into him. Like, because he's a toaster.
Right.
It's the fucking trippiest, scariest scene.
What the hell?
Yeah, then at one point the lamp gets, like, struck by lightning, and you think he's dead, and everyone's, like, mourning him. But he's, like, in critical condition the whole time. And it's he almost looks realistic.
Would you say that lamp went in, was coma toaster?
It was a lamp. So.
But it's from Brave Little Toaster, though.
I tried to hold it in. It's like so good.
Comatose. Yeah, it
it's good. Good. The blank. A lot of shit happens to that fucking blanket. I feel like that thing gets just lit all the time. And then the scariest part. The
Would you say that things... it was blank lit?
Yes. That nice. All these themes of suicide and death and all this stuff. The author of the original children's story killed himself.
Oh, there you go. It was just his suicide note.
Yep. Just for kids, everybody. Now, there's a lot of fucked up stories we didn't talk about, so be sure to tell us your darkest kids moment, like kids movie moments or stories from TV, whatever. Because there is some weird shit. There's like a witch's movie where like a witch turns a kid into a mouse. That looks fucked up, and yeah. The witch looks terrifying. There's the Secrets of Nim or whatever that movie is. There's some spoopy owls in that one, and the kind of,
Winnie the
there's
Pooh.
There's a lot of stuff. Yep, yep. Winnie the Pooh, Dumbo when he gets drunk, accidentally.
Pinocchio.
Pinocchio was on my list, but we ran out of time.
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Yes. So there's a lot of shit. Please, so tell us your favorite dark kids movie when you really think about it.
And where you could tell us that is if you go on to www.theportport.com, that's the P-O-R-T-E, port. You can find our Facebook and our Twitter and everywhere you can contact us there, so make sure you do that.
Also in the description, so just...
Also in the description as well. Another thing that we do through those social medias is something that we like to call Weapon of the Week. So that's the section we're going to get into this week, or right now. If you don't know,
I feel like we still need a song or something.
Yeah, we need like a sound drop for sure. Hey, if you could do sound drops, let us know and make us a sound drop.
Thank you in advance.
You will forever be on our podcast. So what Weapon of the Week is, if you don't know what Weapon of the Week is... So we have this listener, Luke, who we discovered maybe like a couple months back that he has created this zombie apocalypse.
Oops.
And the only thing that you have to defend yourself is the last personal weapon that you saw used in either a video game or a movie or television or something of that nature. And that's your weapon to defend yourself against the zombie horde. So we've had some good ones. But getting into it this week, we have some listener write-ins from last week. So we're going to start off with Jake, because he got his in right at the last second last week, and it should have technically been on last week's show, but we had just finished recording. And he says, hey, Brothers Geek, if it's going to let me click on the thing, it'd be great. Hey, Brothers Geek, the last game I played was Final Fantasy 15. Yes. So, my weapon in the zombie apocalypse would be Noctis's Warp Strike. So if you've never played... Tiffany's gonna love this one. If you've never played Final Fantasy 15, main character you play as, He has the ability to, like, throw his sword out and warp to his sword and, like, stab people with it. Nice. So that's a pretty good one. Only problem there, Jake, is you only got, like, a limited amount of, like, focus or whatever to do that. So, you know, use it wisely. But I can always recharge.
Yeah. I mean, shit. I mean, he's never going to run out of ammo. Swords are always a good option. And whenever you have a magical one, you got something going for yourself there.
It's true. Speaking of Tiff, she writes in, her and Jared from Up, Down, Left, Die were just at TwitchCon. She writes in, played a baby fighting game at TwitchCon. So my hashtag WOTW for Brothers Geek Pod to defeat Luke's zombie army is an army of babies on hoverboards. And you replied, those zombies don't stand a chance. I don't know how effective it would be at killing the zombies, but you could probably distract them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's pretty fucked up, though, because you're basically saying, here, babies, go get bit by these zombies. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. It really comes right down to it. They're fodder, really.
Yeah, they're zombie fodder. There's zombie fodder, which is, I guess, I don't know. Yeah.
The advantage, though, of course, there doesn't seem to be a limit. I don't know if there's a limit to
how many babies. Infinite zombie or infinite hoverboard babies. Hover babies.
Which then get turned into zombies, so you gotta be careful. Cause you can't.
Oh, I gotta watch out for those zombie babies. They'll grow up and get their revenge. For using them as fodder.
Oh my god. A revenge zombie fodder baby army on hoverboards.
Yeah.
Holy shit, we better get the cleric. Because yeah. We're in trouble.
We're gonna be in trouble. We're gonna be in trouble. What's your weapon of the week this week, Chris?
Well, going through Stranger Things again, this is actually a very pure weapon of the week. Because usually I try to find like something funny in the last thing I watched, or maybe not even the last thing I watched, just something this week.
Yeah.
But I literally watched this like just an hour or so before we started recording, and it was pretty much the last scene. It's the pool. There's a scene where the teenagers, hanging out at the pool, and they're drinking beers, uh-huh. as teenagers are wont to do, and they're like chugging them, and they're like, you know, popping the bottom of them and like drinking them out of the bottom, you know, and so they peer pressure one of the other girls into like puncturing it, and she accidentally like, cuts herself, which ultimately leads to her getting like just wrecked by the monster because they could smell the blood or whatever. So my weapon of the week is peer pressure.
Just say no, kids. So how would you use this against the zombies?
Okay. Against zombies, they'd be like trying to, you know, eat my flesh or whatever.
You talk them down, like, basically?
Yeah, basically I'd be like, oh, you're still eating flesh, dude? You should eat zombie flesh. Are you a pussy, dude? Are you a pussy? You're not gonna eat zombie flesh?
So you're rolling persuasion checks just over and over again, basically.
You know, all the cool kids are eating zombie flesh. Oh, that's all I'm saying. Is if you want to hang out, that's cool, but you're gonna have to eat zombie flesh, is all.
Would you take a big chomp out of a zombie to, like, increase the peer pressure? Because, you know, that's like, you know, when teenagers in a circle and they're smoking the marijuana, you know, they're all passing it, you know, so would you take a chunk out of a zombie to be like, everybody's doing it? Arr.
Well, see, that screws me over because then I become a zombie, I assume.
No, the zombie has to bite you, but if you bite a zombie, oh.
I'm
pretty sure that's how it works.
I think it's if their, like, blood gets in your blood, you know?
There's probably different versions. We'll say this is the version where the zombie has to bite you.
They literally have to bite you. They have to bite you. It's something in their teeth. It's like venom.
Yeah.
In a pinch, yeah, I might do it. You know, but I might be really persuasive, and they won't. They'll be like,
sure,
oh, okay.
Sure.
And then start by eating each other.
Yeah.
Then not only do I save myself, I actually gain more weapons, because now all these zombies are my weapons, and whoever lives is just going to go around and eat more zombies, thinking he's cool. And maybe he'll peer pressure other zombies. See, if that's where you get it.
Okay.
don't know what you're doing over there.
That was Diablo Zombie.
Yeah, I gotcha.
My weapon of the week is, I have been, this is also a peer weapon of the week, I've been rereading, so this happens around this time of year, I started rereading Lord of the Rings. Started on The Hobbit.
Literally texted my girlfriend, like, hey, we should rewatch those, it's time, I feel it in the
it's
water.
It's time.
I feel it in the earth.
Yeah, so I'm rereading The Hobbit right now, and I just started, so I'm on the second chapter. And so my, which is roast mutton, so my weapon of the week would be the sun. So it could be pretty effective if it's intense enough, because this is, zombies are just rotting flesh, you know.
Oh, man, that's going to get stinky.
True.
It's real stinky.
True. But, you know, if I can, Gandalf, he's not really harnessing the power of the sun, he's just, so maybe mine's like confusion. Where it's almost like peer pressure, but I'm just confusing the zombies until the thing that will ultimately destroy them happens.
Yeah, whatever that thing is. It's probably other zombies trying to be cool.
Yeah.
Coming in. Hey, guys, you ready? Ah, what are you doing?
Maybe you and just me can team cool. up, because Gandalf, like, changes his voice to, like, sound like one of the trolls. So you use your peer pressure, and then I'll start sounding like one of the zombies, be like, yeah, sounds like a great idea.
Oh, shit, Steve thinks it's a good idea? I like this.
We could tag team.
I like the team up. We should team up our weapons more often.
Yeah.
Most of mine are shit, so...
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I like it. Oh, man. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
So make sure you chime in with your weapons of the week. Again, at the port. Links in the description. Make sure you check those out.
You check out the site, because we do post every week. You can also sign up for our newsletter on the site, which we'll be emailing out every week. And there is a new article up about Blade Runner 2049. So if you've seen that, because it is spoilerific, so if you've seen that, check it out. And we dive into a little bit of the storytelling of Blade Runner, which is a great movie, and you should see it.
Yeah. And I have another plug. This is for a different podcast, and it's not Up, Down, Left, Eye, but me and my girlfriend were on a podcast called Standing Still.
Oh, nice.
Which our friend hosts. It's... not a geeky podcast at all. It's more of like a comedy podcast. But if you want to check that episode out, that episode released this week. So check out Standing Still podcast anywhere that podcasts can be found, and listen to that episode. It's pretty funny, pretty good. We roast each other at one point. So if you want to hear my terrible roasting skills, you can listen to that episode.
Sweet. Then we're going to have a new episode of RP Geek up this week,
it will
be
up by the time this comes out. So now there will be something every week. So whether that be, make sure you check out the Campfire episode that released last week. Goes into some lore. And I've gotten some good feedback on that. So make sure you leave some feedback for that as well. And this one, and this podcast, Brothers Geek. So you can do that by leaving a rating and a review. It helps out a lot. And share.
It does. And we love it.
We
feel the love. We feel the love.
Where is the love for Geeky Podcasts?
And you can hear Patrick sing. So.
No, but maybe one day.
I think that might be our Geek of the Week then.
Geek of the Week. Complete.
Ding, 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 ding.
Na, 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 na. All the sounds.
Just all of them. Get them in there. Including, bye.
Bye.